In John 17, beginning in verse 17, we read that Jesus prays for all men to know the truth, to know salvation, and to have unity in Him. He says, beginning in verse 17, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus says, "Your word is truth," speaking to his Father. Power to save and unite us with God is what Jesus is talking about. That truth, that word being truth, brings us to salvation. So when we talk here, Jesus is wanting us to get back to the Bible as the source of truth, because that's where God is. God is the source of truth. So to get back to the Bible means to get back to God. Christ is God. He is the source of truth. In John 1 and verse 1, John said that Jesus is the Word, and he embodies and expresses God's will for our salvation. Continuing in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, John writes that he came as a man from God, fully revealing God's person and will. Excuse me. He said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is prepared before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So again, John here is saying that Jesus came as man from God, and he fully revealed God's person and his will. So we must all men and women, must get back to the Bible. And the reason for that is we need to understand that all sin and error rejects both God and his truth. And we also understand from this that Christ came to restore sinners back to his Father, back to God. And what it means to go back to God and truth is another thing. So when we talk about all men must go back to the Bible, we talk here that all sin and error reject both God and truth. What that means is to violate God's word is to reject God himself. In Genesis chapter 3, in verses 4 through 6, we see that Adam and Eve violated God's word. And Paul tells us in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all people violate God's word. In other words, we insult and reject him by obeying Satan. And people would say, "Well, no, Jeff, I don't obey Satan." But if we don't follow God's will according to what God has told us to do, then we are following Satan. We can't straddle the fence and try to serve God and the world at the same time. Religious and moral error violate God's word. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, that sin exchanges that truth for lies. He says there that God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So all sin and error rejects God and his truth. And it doesn't matter if Pastor so-and-so tells you that you're okay not doing this command of God or that command of God. You need to take and get rid of Pastor so-and-so if he's telling you that, or stay away from him. He is a false teacher. Anyone that tells you you do not have to obey the law of God is a false teacher. Another point here is, getting back to the Bible means that we understand that Christ came to restore sinners back to God. That's the reason he died. He died on the cross to reconcile sinners to God. In Colossians 1, Paul writes in verses 21 and 22, telling us that sinners are enemies of God. He says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Part of the reason that Christ came to this world, other than bringing the message of peace and that God sent him to bring, was to bring us back to God, to redeem us by the shedding of his blood, to reconcile us with God. And we learn in this that moral sin and religious error separates us from God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, that vain practices are handed down. He says, beginning in verse 18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received a tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." There's nothing else in this world that could save us, that could bring us back to Christ, back to God, except for the blood of the lamb, the blood of Christ. Now let's ask a question. What does it mean to go back to God in his truth? Well, it means to go back to God's plan of salvation. God has prepared the plan, and he prepared it in Christ. Paul writes about this in Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." And everybody loves the passage of John 3:16. That tells us that God provided the perfect sacrifice, that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to this world. Man must receive God's plan and sacrifice. It's not enough to want to be a Christian and follow the teaching of some denomination or some other religion. Not all religions follow God's plan. Paul stated in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that we have to open our hearts to hear the truth, hear the word of God. And he says there that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, we point out John 3:16, that God there wants us to open our hearts to believe. Everyone loves this verse, but I think sometimes we just look at the first line of that verse and not the second. Here John writes that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he goes on to say that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. "Oh, but I believe in Jesus, Jeff. I believe that he is the Son of God." Well, if you believe him, do you follow his teachings? We have to have open hearts and a willingness to repent when we hear the word of God, when we hear the truth of God's word. And that's what we see happening in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached that great sermon. In verse 38, he told those men on that day to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 37, we see that they opened their mouths to confess Christ as being the Son of God. Now, when they had heard Peter's sermon, it says they were cut to the heart. And Peter and the rest of the apostles, they said to them, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Again, we go back to Acts 2 and verse 38, and we see that they were told to submit to Christ in water baptism. You know, then we've got some that say, "Oh, but water baptism doesn't save us. We're saved by faith only." Well, James in chapter 2 and verse 24 says that we're saved by an obedient faith, not just believing faith. He says, you see that then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. It's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus. If you believe in him, then you'll obey him. And that requires an active faith. But this also means that we need to get back to the New Testament church. In Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, we see that this was built by Christ and by his apostles. He says in verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The apostles revealed the right organization for this church. Local churches look directly to Christ with no earthly headquarters, Acts 14, verse 23. Paul's teaching was commanded by Christ, and he taught it in every church, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, and chapter 4, and verse 17. The apostles revealed the right work. There's evangelism, no gimmicks to draw people in, 1 Timothy 3, and verse 15. To worship God and edify the saints, not entertain and please the people, Acts 2 and verse 42. Benevolence to the needy saints, faithful needy saints. No social gospel to attract carnal-minded people, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 1. The apostles revealed the right worship. We are to observe the Lord's Supper every Sunday, Acts 20 and verse 7. Collection on every Sunday, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Praying to God, not to some dead saint, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Teaching God's word and not some idea of man, Acts 2 and verse 42. Singing with no instruments or no entertainment, Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Paul, in his teaching, was commanded by Christ, and what he was commanded, he taught in every church, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. And another thing is, we have to get back to godly living. We have been redeemed from sin to live a new life, Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. And along the line of godly living, we've got to get back to having godly homes. In Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21, we say that God ordained the roles of the home. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So we see here from James 17 that Jesus prays for all men to know the truth, to come to salvation, and to have unity in him. You know, this is a startling claim that was culminated at a debate with the Pharisees who tried to find sin in the life of Jesus. He told God in that prayer that your word is truth. It is the power to save. It is the power to unite us with God and to bring others to salvation. Back to the Bible as a source of truth, the only source of truth, because God is the only source of truth. So we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to God. God is calling all men back to him today. 1 John 1 and verse 9, he's calling backsliding saints who confess and be cleansed. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Acts 2 and verse 38, sinners in the world can be forgiven of their sins. We've already noticed this passage. We're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Again, you may not agree with this lesson, and I encourage you to get with me, talk with me, bring your Bible, and have book, chapter, and verse to show me where I'm wrong or where you think I'm wrong. If you'd like to hear this lesson again, you can go to our website. That's churchateastside.com. You can visit with us this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible class, 10 a.m. for worship, and again this evening at 5 p.m. for another period of worship. Again, thank you for being with me.